rocking, I'm the real McCoy, and I'm headed out west, sucker, because I wanna be a cowboy, baby,
with a top left back and the sunshine shining.
Cowboy, baby,
west coast chillin' with the booze.
I wanna be a cowboy, baby.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast, episode 100, Scott.
This is a landmark.
What a milestone this is.
It really
is. To be at episode 100.
I know.
It's been a long journey.
It has, and I feel sad a little bit because Mark Cook isn't here to partake in the festivities.
You're right. It doesn't feel right doing it without Mark, but everybody who listens to this podcast knows that when I intro it, Mark isn't here. We need to do one where Mark is here and
yes.
I intro it just to throw people off.
Yes, exactly.
That would really throw people off. But Mark feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, not on IR. He's still
questionable.
He's questionable for this week.
Two games left in the season. We haven't put him on IR yet.
Right.
Which I always think it's funny when this point in the season there's like 2-3 games left.
Yeah.
They go, oh, that injury, it's a season-ending injury.
Right.
Okay, so it's a 3-week injury. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Great.
It could be like a sprained finger right now would put somebody in IR
at
this point.
In Mark's place, we once again have the intern. Matthew, introduce yourself.
How's it going? Mark is about to get Wally Pipped, fellas.
Oh, boy.
Look at that.
Love it.
Look at that.
Matt Matera filling in for Mark Cook today.
Coming in.
Appreciate you guys having me, though.
Yeah, of
Absolutely.
Course. Hopefully you'll do a little bit more talking this time. Since Mark didn't really give you the green light to talk.
Yes, I have given Matt the green light to talk.
Wow, yeah, thank you very much.
Yes. I listened to your podcast.
Overruled decision.
I was angry. I want to get things going, but nope.
Yep.
I was like Jimmy Garoppolo to Mark's Tom Brady.
Now you're unchained.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean,
oh, okay.
I listened to your podcast. It was mediocre, and so I figured, okay, we're going to roll with that.
Great,
and we're going to see if we can take it from mediocre to... No, I'm just kidding. You did a good job.
Okay. Two games left for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. As Scott made Jameis Winston well aware at the podium earlier today, they cannot finish with a winning record.
I wasn't sure if he was aware of that.
Yeah,
I just wanted to.
No, I could tell that you preface it and you're like,
clear.
Yeah, Jameis, just in case that, nobody's told you or for whatever reason you might not be able to count to 9, you mathematically cannot finish with a winning season.
The reason why
Jameis was well aware of that.
I know. The reason why I prefaced it that way is because a lot of what I was trying to...
You want
to
poke at the emotion, right?
Well, I do a little bit.
Yeah, and now he meditates, so he's more chill and cool, calm, collected out there.
I've actually downloaded the Headspace app.
Did you?
Oh,
I did,
you?
Yeah. I've meditated a couple times.
Congratulations on doing your journalistic duty.
I find it enlightening. No, but the reason why I prefaced it that way with Jameis in regards to that question is because it's kind of a faux pas, and I even did it with Dirk a little bit.
Nice word.
To ask like a season wrap-up question when the season's still going on.
Sure.
But we at PewterReport.com.
Which they really love.
Yes.
They really love when you do that.
We love to be
ahead. They really
ahead.
Love looking forward.
I know.
And you just getting the two games that they have over with.
In my opinion, they should look forward to it. They should already be on 2019 mode.
Did you see Taylor asked a question? He's like, hey, what are you guys, looking forward to, like, getting out of these couple of games?
Yeah.
Basically saying, what building blocks
what
can
else you need
have?
To work
and
on.
Jameis just goes,
winning.
And Taylor was like, good answer.
Good answer.
Yes. Yeah.
What
but
you expect
I wanted Jameis.
Jameis, nothing really. That was kind of the Jameis answer.
Yeah. I wanted Jameis just to kind of answer a season-ending question 2 weeks early.
Sure.
Because that's just how I operate.
Sure.
It's like everybody's talking about Bucks Cowboys, and we're going to delve into that. But I'm more interested at this point, honestly, in 2019.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of fans are. And I think that's the appeal that PewterReport.com has always had is everybody's talking about right now what's up. But is it really that interesting right now with the Buccaneers, Trevor, the best they can be is 7-9? Or 6-10, or 5-11. That's the three outcomes.
By the way, I went back and looked at our season predictions.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh boy.
Oh.
You said 8-8.
Yeah, and then I was stupid enough to.
I said
to like
seven
re-up
and,
it.
I said 7-9. Mark said 7-9.
Yes.
And Andrew, I believe, said 8-8.
Yeah.
So I could have sworn I put 6-10, but I guess I didn't. I almost started writing because I mentioned that in our preview or what was it? It was a roundtable this week. It was will the Bucks finish 5-11?
Yep.
And
two
I started
years in a row.
I started mine out saying no, because right. I predicted 7-9, so they're gonna yes. win these last
Stick
two.
It to your yes. guns.
So I can be right.
There's respect in that.
But I actually went back on it and said, yeah, they're gonna lose these last two.
I was
games,
the so idiot. Listen, my whole thing this offseason was, you know, let's be cautious. Let's let the Buccaneers adopt the Missouri State slogan, which is "Show Me."
You and I,
okay,
in our explanation, had the same thing. It yes. was like both of us prefaced it by saying, yes. "This is the most talented Tampa Bay Buccaneers yep. team they've had since their Super Bowl."
Show me,
no question,
right?
But I'm still predicting a two-game losing season because this yeah. is still the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're not even going to hit it.
And the stupid thing for me was I got caught up in the whole 2-0 start. I got caught up.
I think
up
everyone
in.
Did. Fitzmagic.
I did.
Encapsulates yep. everyone.
And the thing is, everything. Is Jameis looked really good in the preseason and put up some great numbers. And I thought, okay, so Fitzmagic's going to last whenever. Maybe it's going to run its course 3 or 4 or 5 games, whatever. And once it ends, Jameis is going to just come in and pick up where he left off in the preseason. And this offensive machine is just going to keep rolling. That's what I fully expected to happen. And listen, the defense certainly had some holes in week one.
Clearly.
But you saw them win the turnover margin. You saw the scoop and score by Justin Evans up in New Orleans. And then you saw what they did, I think, defensively pretty well in week two against the Philadelphia Eagles. And I bought into it. And I revised my predictions like an idiot. And I said, oh, I think this team is going to be 10-6, you know, and it's going to be the exact opposite. They'll be 6-10 probably.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
It's easy to drink the Kool-Aid when things are going well. It's just yeah. tough. I know they say it's a week-to-week league, but
yeah.
it really is, because you got to look at the big picture with a lot of stuff. I mean, look at Seattle. Seattle was a bad team like yeah. midway through the year, and now yeah. they're going to lock up the sure. first wild card.
I think Dallas, too, is another good example.
Yeah,
right.
People the had team them they're done. Playing. Jason Garrett's getting fired.
Absolutely. They lose to Tennessee.
Well,
and
Jason Garrett
done.
Should be fired, but that's agreed. Guess, whatever.
Another story for another day.
So then, you know, we talk about, you said earlier, 2019 is really what matters most, but they do still have two games to play. The yeah. game in front of them is against Dallas Cowboys. Let's
All
touch
that's
going to that
do
a
is just
bit.
Affect the draft order.
Well,
that's
of course.
It.
Okay, so how is this game going to affect the draft order, do you think? Do you think it's going to be in a positive way, meaning are they going to lose this game, or do you think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot and start
it?
Tanking their draft pick a little bit?
I think that
if the Bucs get out of this season with like the number 11 pick in the draft, it's just going to be so infuriating.
Yeah. Because
for
it,
everybody
it could have
involved.
Been so much more. It
yes.
could have been 7 or 8.
Yes, because the players that they're going to want to select, if they don't have a top 10 pick, yeah. are going to be gone.
Yeah.
Both of the corners and probably the best offensive lineman in the class are going to be gone.
Yeah. And I will say this, reflecting on this year's draft, and just for the record, yes, we were one of the very first media outlets to proclaim Vita Vea it will be a Buccaneer. We had him in our mm-hmm. third mock draft. And then they started liking Derwin James, and his pro day really kind of influenced them. And it really was a toss-up kind of decision. And we knew it would come down to those two guys, right? We had Derwin James in our fourth and fifth. Fifth is our final mock draft.
Right.
But we had Vita Vea as a Bucs best bet at defensive tackle for obvious reasons. These were the two guys. And it came down to which one of those guys. And we saw Derwin James go to the Pro Bowl this week.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also seen Vita Vea come on. And listen, that performance that he had in Baltimore, and it doesn't matter as much now because they lost, but 9 tackles for a rookie that missed the first, 3 or 4 games of the season, missed all the training camp, he's really starting to come on now. And there's so many people that because of Derwin's fast start out at San Diego and Vita's slow start in Tampa Bay, just use the word bust. And I can't stand when anybody uses the word bust during a rookie season. The only time you should be able to use the word bust
is Ronald Jones.
Is Ronald Jones. That's it.
Wow.
It's
I,
the
I
only
didn't
time.
Think you were actually
hey, he made
that.
A nice one-handed
like
catch
at
practice today.
Did he?
He had a very nice one-handed catch.
I would love to see that in the game.
Yeah, if he ever got in.
Every opportunity he's in, though, like he does something awful, whether he's yeah. dropping a pass or running into the back
and
of the
that was
lineman.
In the preseason, too. Like, I know we've seen it. We've seen it happen.
I mean,
during the regular season,
he dropped
season,
a pass but, last week.
Yeah,
he hit him right in the hands of Baltimore.
When you get 3 snaps, it's tough to right any wrong.
Well, his entire problem is confidence.
Yeah,
and so like you can't give a guy three touches a game.
Yeah,
the only way he gets out of having confidence issues is you actually like give him the ball.
Yeah.
But you're not going to give a guy the ball that's not going to produce. So
that's right. It's
just giant catch 22 with
Rose. Yeah, really.
Like, and Derek answered really, that today in his
They're
press
in a
conference.
Really bad position with him because, yeah. like, at USC, and I've written about this, there were some whispers about some confidence issues with him, some little bit of, I don't want to call it soft mentality, but you get the point with me just, like, saying it in that realm. When his sophomore and junior year rolled around, he was the most talented running back, so he got all the carries no matter what. His sophomore year was okay. He did fine his sophomore year.
Right.
But then that junior year, he exploded that last year that yeah. he was there. And the reason was because he was putting his foot in the ground with mm-hmm. more emphasis. He had way better vision. Yeah. He was hitting top speed a lot faster. He had better balance.
Yeah.
All this stuff. He just looked way more confident than he ever had before. Yeah. And so I guess that kind of gives you a little bit of hope. Like, okay, well, talent's not the issue with Ronald Jones.
Right.
He's just got to be confident. But the problem in the NFL is that they're going to look to replace him soon. You know,
they have
like
to.
If he can't get his confidence for next year,
yeah.
you're drafting a running back.
You cannot look at Ronald Jones and say, well, he's a second round pick, so we have to do A, B, or C. You can't look at that. You just can't. I mean, you have to look at him as this is a guy we drafted, and I don't care. The only difference between Ronald Jones and Jeremy McNichols is three things. Number one, Ronald Jones was drafted in the second round,
mm-hmm.
and Jeremy McNichols was a fifth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, McNichols outperformed in his preseason Ronald Jones in his rookie season in the preseason. Okay, and number three is Jeremy McNichols got cut, and Ronald Jones didn't. And the only reason he didn't get cut is because he's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
And you can't go into it. And I will say this. If Jason Light is here next year, he will draft another running back, and it may be in the second round, it may be in the fifth or whatever.
Yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
but Ronald Jones is not a sacred cow. We saw that with Roberto Aguayo, right? Second round pick that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's Jason Light, Ronald Jones needs to have the training camp of his life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he will be gone.
Right.
If it's not Jason Light, Ronald Jones might be gone before training camp comes.
Yeah. It's just going to be so.
I shouldn't say that.
It's going to suck for Bucks fans. It's going to suck for Bucks fans because if they cut Ronald Jones, it will take approximately 3 minutes for him to get picked up by another team.
Of course,
you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's just like it's really, really annoying to know that truth.
Yeah,
that his confidence
shot somewhere,
shot
yes.
in Tampa Bay, and yeah. it won't work in Tampa Bay. But like Bucks fans are listening to this podcast right now, rolling their eyes, like
right.
that's literally every big name person that's ever come to Tampa Bay in
sure.
the last 10 years.
Yeah,
we get them; they're a big name, they're a talented dude. They can't mm-hmm. play for the Buccaneers; they go somewhere else, and they might be good.
Right. And every once in a while, it happens in Tampa Bay's favor. Look at Carl Nassib. Just couldn't cut it
yeah.
as a defensive end in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this guy is somebody really worth investing in.
It's true.
He is a bookend to Jason Pierre-Paul. And the thing that I look at when it comes to Ronald Jones, and the lesson to be learned from Ronald Jones is the Buccaneers went into this draft saying, we want an explosive running back. Doug Martin wasn't cutting it. Peyton Barber is not as explosive as we want. Certainly Jacquizz Rodgers isn't. But we want an explosive running back. And this kid, had plenty of explosives. The problem is they were against Pac-12 defenses, which are about as stout as Big 12 defenses.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran the daylight so well. And there's not any daylight in the NFL. That's why you don't see many runs every Sunday of 50 yards or more.
Do we ever get to the bottom of what happened with Darius Geis? Like, did this team even like Darius Geis?
It was off-the-field stuff.
Okay, but, like, it came out that was all fabricated.
There were some issues there that prevented the Buccaneers and other teams from really looking and investing in Darius Geis.
Okay.
But the thing, Trevor, is
a lot of it has been fabricated,
listen,
by the way.
Listen, you mentioned Darius Geis. Another guy to look at is Kareem Hunt. Take the off-the-field stuff away for a second. Just look at the running back. He was a guy that ran closer to 4.6 than 4.4, right? I mean, he was a high 4.5 guy. But he breaks tackles. And truthfully, tackle-breaking ability, or I should say the ability to slip tackles, is probably the prominent quality you have to have. It's the trait in the NFL. And I think number two, especially in this day and age, is catching the ball. You've got to be able to catch the ball. I think speed, pure raw speed, is third or fourth.
It can only take you so far.
Oh, it's extremely overrated.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Ronald Jones was a speed-first guy
mm-hmm.
that doesn't break tackles well, doesn't have that physical toughness. He's not a banger, and you have to be. And he doesn't catch the ball well. And it just it's an awful lesson that Jason Light and Dirk Koetter had to learn. But they were so consumed with the explosive plays, and he would slip and break some tackles at USC, but not against defenses that are NFL caliber. And I think when you look at running backs, and that's why so many of the running backs that have been drafted over the last 2 years have been successful, is because they were just way better at breaking tackles.
That hurts, right? Too. I mean, you look at someone like Phillip Lindsay, who didn't even get drafted. Right. Now he's
Gus Edwards for Baltimore.
Going to the Pro Bowl.
Right. Yeah.
Even James Conner, I know he's been in the league for a couple more years.
Mentality for players is almost...
He got drafted later, too.
It's such a big deal.
It is.
They should have done... Like, if they did their homework... If they did enough of their homework on Darius Geis to maybe not want to draft him,
right?
How did they not do their homework on Ronald Jones?
I think sometimes...
Do you just hear what you want to hear?
Yes. Yeah, and you know this as somebody who watches a ton of draft tape. I'm the same way, too.
And we're all all have those qualities, but you got to be able to put it beside you, I think, if you're making...
Right. Okay, remember last year, I was so high on Rashad Penny, right? At San Diego State. Yeah. I loved him. He was explosive. He did break some tackles, but... Going to the Senior Bowl and watch, and he even lit up in the Senior Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't light up in practices, but he lit it up in the game, catching the ball and all that. But the thing is I really kind of cooled on him, and some of the organization here cooled on him because he just didn't display that between the tackle toughness that you have to have. Yet the ability to break tackles at this league, and that's why he's not a 1,000-yard guy in Seattle, even though Seattle spent a first-round pick on him?
Yeah, it was way overdrafted.
Way overdrafted him, right? And he hasn't been that guy, and I'm not sure that he will be. The college tape is tantalizing. Like, you can get drunk on it. I got drunk on it watching San Diego
State.
Yeah, just
watch any Big 12 game, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like if you look at that, and that's why I'm really – my draft crush this year is Memphis running back Darrell Henderson. I think he's a first-round caliber back. I think he is the best running back in this draft class. But for all those big breakaway runs, he does have the tackle-breaking ability to do that, and he's got the breakaway speed. I just have to go back and look at, instead of the highlight tapes, go back and look at some of those other runs. Mm-hmm. Is he getting tackled for loss?
Right.
Because, listen, an 80-yard run against UCF or against anybody can really just explode your average.
Which 80-yard run against UCF? He had multiple.
Multiple, exactly.
A lot.
He had three.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, is that the type of player you're going to get, or is that just college ball? Is that just what would Ronald Jones?
And anyone looks good if the line is blocking for you, where you have so much space, you only have to beat one guy for that 8-yard run.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that doesn't happen in the NFL. It's rare that you're going to only have to beat one guy.
Right.
Because other guys are flying to the ball.
Sure.
And Peyton Barber will just run over the guy. Won't even try to.
Yeah. And if you look at Ezekiel Elliott, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a dynamic playmaking guy that can catch the ball. And there's a reason why, even in this day when people are trying to talk
Zeke's
themselves.
He's not that fast.
No, he's not.
What people don't realize.
Exactly, but he breaks tackles.
Yes.
Slips tackles.
Yes.
And is an explosive runner.
He's one of the best all-around runners I've ever seen.
Yes. And there's a reason why, whether it's him or Saquon Barkley, that there is still, and I know there is this talk, this chatter, a couple of years ago is really when it started. Oh, running backs are a dime a dozen, and you can get them anywhere. Yes, you can. You can find a Phillip Lindsay. You can find a Gus Edwards. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to necessarily
be a first-rounder.
You still
have to find one.
Yes. But it doesn't discount the fact that there are first-round caliber running backs, like a Saquon Barkley, like a Ezekiel Elliott.
Sure. Yeah.
I think there's a clear tier of, these are the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
And then you can still get a good one, but if you get one of those first-round talents like you're talking about.
Yeah. Now, sticking on running backs for a second, Dirk Koetter is just so all in on Peyton Barber.
Loves him.
Just loves him.
Peyton Barber's good, man.
Peyton Barber is good. Is he good or is he great?
He's good.
He's good. He's solid.
All right.
He's solid.
Peyton could be a 1,000-yard rusher.
I agree. But are we talking 1,000 yards or are we talking 1,400 yards?
No, 1,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
It seems to me like Dirk is talking himself into the fact that he could be a 1,400.
He's not a 1,400. No, I don't think.
He's not, right?
I don't think Dirk believes that either. He just thinks that Peyton's a good back.
Okay.
I think that's what he's saying.
All right. I agree.
For Ronald Jones, though, I guess it's just going to be a matter of confidence. He's just got to get his confidence up. And if Mark were here, he would say that a good way to get your confidence up is to really just get out on the water.
You have to.
You just get out on the boat, open water.
relax.
You know, throw the line in there. Clear just relax. Mind. Clear the mind.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you know, I heard Ronald Jones' boat isn't really in tip-top shape. It's not really in get out on the water shape.
That's true.
If now
might
if
be
he,
a hole
he,
in that boat.
You know, if he's going to do that before next season, next training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, how would he get his boat fixed? I mean, how would he even? He probably doesn't know how to fix it himself.
Yeah, there's one place to go.
That would be T.A. Mahoney's.
It would be. There's no doubt about it. Located on Adamo Drive, right in the heart of Tampa.
Yes.
T.A. Mahoney is the place to go for all your marine and boating needs.
Yes. Great family business as well.
There you go.
Yes.
Yep. And as Mark would say, if you're looking for anything marine related, whether it's a life jacket, some baits, some rods, fixing your boat, fixing your trailer.
I always say flare gun.
Flare gun, and you know, because I guess you need that on all your boats as well to get make sure you're up on inspection so when you get pulled over, you're not getting in trouble.
If Ronald Jones ever scores a touchdown again, they'll have to shoot off the flare gun, letting
maybe
everyone
he can,
know.
Maybe yeah. he's got the flare gun in his sock, and he just fires it up in the air, and security immediately just tackles him. But, you know, okay, hopefully he doesn't do that. But
because he wouldn't break the tackle.
If
security.
Mark were here, he would tell you that if T.A. Mahoney's does not have what you want in terms of repairs or buying stuff for whatever you want to do on the water, it just doesn't exist,
that's
and
right.
nobody can fix it. And
yep.
you should just stop looking. So, T.A. Mahoney's, they are a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
Yeah.
A little bit of talk about, I do want to touch a little bit on Dallas. How much do we think the Bucs have a chance this week against Dallas? Are there key matchups, key things you're looking at? Either, you know, you could either give me reasons they'll win or reasons you think they'll lose. Do you have any that pop into your head?
Two things stand out to me. The Cowboys have everything to play for in this game.
They really do.
I mean,
they have to win.
They have to win.
Philly is hot on their trail.
This really is a playoff game for Dallas.
Yes.
The rest of the season is.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
it's only two
games. To me, that coupled with the fact that I think they are the better football team than the Buccaneers and they're playing at home, I don't see how Tampa Bay wins this game. If they were going to win this game, it would really be just completely dominating the turnover battle. Like if they were to be plus three in this game, which they have been in a couple of their victories mm-hmm. against Carolina, against San Francisco, but that's what it's going to have to take. It's going to have to take some big time momentum plays, like a sack fumble by JPP, a pick six, which we haven't seen all year, but it's going to have to take one or two of those type of caliber plays that really ignite and keep this Buccaneer team interested in winning for all four quarters. Otherwise, I think we've all seen this team has a propensity to get down on itself when things aren't going their way. And you saw when Baltimore took that opening drive in the third mm-hmm. quarter and just kind of suffocated the Buccaneers and steamrolled them, you could kind of see the here we go again look on the Buccaneer faces, especially on offense when they go three and out.
I really don't know what to think of this game because I mean, there's obviously Dallas' side where they need to win, but I'm just talking about the Buccaneers' side. I don't know what these players in this locker room is going to do because last year they didn't give up. They played till the end.
Yep,
they ended up winning
that
last game against the mm-hmm. Saints. Okay, all that stuff. That's nice. They're playing for their head coach, everything like that. But, like, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that Dirk was getting fired, right? It was his second year. It was his first bad year, okay?
Yep.
So you're still fighting for that guy. He's probably still going to be your head
right.
coach. Even though there were all the Gruden rumors swirling around and all that kind of stuff. This year's different.
Yeah.
This year's – they're staring at 5-11 for the second year.
Yeah.
Dirk is fired if they go 5-11. And I think
no
Dirk might be
it.
Fired regardless of what happens over
sure.
these last 2 days.
7-9,
so,
you could make,
no,
make a case.
Yeah,
no.
Make an argument.
No, you could. If you listen.
They started off 2-0 without the franchise quarterback, and they finished 7-9.
If you are the Blazers and you want to keep Dirk Cutter, that is your ammunition for doing so. I'm not endorsing that move. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that if they were to beat Dallas this week and come home and beat the Falcons and you end the season with two wins, that might change their mind. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not endorsing that move. I'm just looking at all possibilities,
so,
and I think that's possible.
So I'm wondering.
But it's not going to happen.
I'm just wondering if this team's going to quit.
I want to see how this offense
yes.
goes.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I
yes.
truly don't know. Because I go in that locker room after every single game.
Yeah.
And those dudes are just dejected.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the year,
right.
let's take the Chicago game, for example, mm-hmm. when they got absolutely beat down. I've said this before on this podcast. People know. Jason Pierre-Paul Vinny Curry, Bo Allen.
They took exception to that early
they
in the season.
They were, like, distraught.
Yeah.
They were like, how could this happen?
Right.
How could we lose like this? This can't be us. This is not our identity. This is not who we are as a team. Jared McCoy, Lavonte David, Juan Alexander.
Done that. DeMar Dotson.
DeMar Dotson.
Yep.
Just another game.
Yep.
It's just another game that happens when you play in Tampa.
Welcome
That's
to Tampa.
It. Welcome to Tampa Bay. That's it.
Yep.
And I don't even know how much I don't really even blame them for it.
Yep.
That's just where they are.
It's all they
where
know.
They are in their career.
It's
That's
all they know.
That's all they know is this. And so as the season's gone on, as they have lost, that same attitude has just crept into Vinny Curry and Jason Pierre-Paul and all those guys.
Yeah. And you know why? They're outnumbered.
Right.
They literally are outnumbered.
Right.
Because you get 53 guys on the active roster, 60 when you include all the players in the locker room from the practice squad.
And so that's why I wonder
they're outnumbered.
Now. They're out. They're out. They can't make it anymore.
Yeah.
Their coach is probably getting fired.
Mm-hmm.
What are they playing for? Now, DeMar Dotson, he often just says whatever he thinks, and we love him for it.
Gotta love Dot.
Last week he said, I'm not playing for Dirk's job.
Playing for my job.
They basically said, I don't give a damn about that. I'm playing for my job. You know?
Right.
That's what I'm doing. And but DeMar said that he basically said, even if you have that mentality that you are playing, you're not playing for Dirk's job, you're playing for your own job,
mm-hmm.
you've still got pride to play for.
Sure.
Like you still go out and play. Like
yeah.
it's still up to you to go out and play the best that you can. You're playing for yourself.
Yeah. Put some good tape out there.
So right. And so I have no idea what Buccaneer team is going to show up in Dallas.
I think if they fall behind, say 10-0 early, it's over.
Well,
you can easily see a situation: the Cowboys get the ball,
yep.
they run the ball down the Bucs' throats,
yep. up 7-0.
7-0. Then we see the Bucs' offense that we saw in the second half against the Saints, and pretty much the entire game against Baltimore. I know there was rain and stuff like that,
yep.
but their first drive down 7-0. They go 3 and out, or maybe get like one first down.
Or a turnover.
Yeah, or a turnover. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like you said, either 10-0 or 14-0 right away.
Here we go again.
Into it, and it's done.
Yep.
Here we
and
go
I know
again.
The defense has gotten a lot better. It mm-hmm. clearly has. Like, there's no arguing about that. But I'm still skeptical to see, especially when they're on the road. They keep falling. You saw it in the Carolina game.
Mm-hmm.
where they keep falling for these misdirections,
yeah.
like double reverse. The Ravens touchdown,
yeah.
I think, was
mm-hmm.
on a reverse like that. They kind of just remind me of when you're playing with a dog and you got the tennis ball.
Yeah.
You got the tennis ball in this hand, and you fake throw it with the
right.
other hand, and the dog runs after
yeah.
that one. That's the way the Bucs defense
yeah,
is to me a little
it's
bit.
It's too
just,
eager.
You fake it to the right, and they all run right,
yeah.
and just the simplest of misdirections. And it's gone for a
yeah.
touchdown
yeah.
or a long game.
I think that's more of just a panic thing than anything else. You know, it's looking at what's transpired and not wanting that to happen so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is a reverse or whether it's a big play
mm-hmm.
or whether it's a 7-minute drive or whatever it is, it's just oh no, here we go again. Like let's make sure that doesn't happen again.
Sure.
And then it just gets you.
Sure. Well, Scott, if I wanted to bet on this game. I mean, where could I throw down some money?
Well, Trevor, you know by now, mybookie.ag is the place to go for our Pewter Nation listeners out there. And it's not just for NFL games, guys. Bowl season is here. Tonight we've got, right here in Tampa Bay, Raymond James Stadium, the Bad
the
Boys.
Gasparilla Bowl.
Gasparilla Bowl.
Bad Boys
Mowers.
Gasparilla Bowl.
And, of course, it's USF.
Of course.
Right?
And Marshall.
I mean, and Marshall, yeah.
Yeah.
Not expecting a big crowd there tonight, from what I'm understanding.
I'm not going to make
it. Is it still going to be raining?
Probably will.
Then yeah. Yeah, I'm not going.
I heard they had the tarp on the field. It's going to help that
I'm
much.
I'm order pizza,
game,
and I'm going to watch it in my house.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But listen, bowl season is here, and it's time to get in the action with my bookie. Don't be the guy with no rooting interest as your relatives or friends sit around watching the game. Not this year when there are a record 41 bowl games to bet on, including the national championship on January 7th. It really is the most wonderful time of the year, guys. Make sure you're ready for the daily action by signing up at MyBookie today. They pay fast when you win. Ownership really cares about good customer service, and they offer the craziest prop bets. I know that for a fact. When you bet, when your bet is just as important as who you're betting on, you want to make sure that you make some money during the bowl season, and you got to go to MyBookie to make that happen. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. Join now at MyBookie. We'll offer you a 50% deposit bonus to make sure you've got a nice bankroll heading into bowl season. Use promo code PEWTER when you deposit to activate the offer. That's promo code PEWTER at MyBookie. You play, you win, and you get paid.
You know what the best part about betting is, other than winning money?
I didn't know there was.
I didn't know there was an alternative part.
There is an alternative.
Okay.
Besides winning money, the best part of winning a bet is knowing that you were right and someone else was wrong.
This is true.
That's a good point.
That's
a good point.
I know you don't bet like a ton of money. You said you bet like 25 bucks on a game, something like that.
Yeah.
But the thrill of knowing you were right. And someone that may disagree with you, they were wrong.
Well, John and I do another podcast, Locked On NFL Draft Podcast with John Ledyard. And every Thursday, we go through the lines via MyBookie. We look at MyBookie's lines and we go down and we pick every single NFL game and we keep track of it during the year.
Who's winning?
I am up four games. So I beat last year.
Okay.
I beat him in the overall standings last year because we did this last year. It was the first year we did it. And with 2 weeks to go, I am up four. I'm up four games on him. This week, we kind of have the same answers a lot, but this week we differed on almost every single game.
So this could be the make or break week.
This could be the make or break week. But just to Matt's point, I mean, I don't even have any money on the line. I just have pride on the line.
Yeah,
and
but it's
saying that I know better than John is,
well,
I enjoy that a little
listen,
bit.
Listen, I am, I guess, like a pussy better or whatever. I mean, I don't bet a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's people out there listening, oh my God, Reynolds bets 5 and 10 and 20 bucks. Like, you know, lame. Like, okay, fine. The most I've ever bet on a game, I bet $100.
On who?
On Kansas State USC against Keyshawn Johnson. I bet Keyshawn. $100. And I won. I think it was 10-6. It was Pete Carroll's first year at USC. And Kansas State went on the road and beat USC 10-6. And that was like one of the worst experiences I've ever had because I was betting on like my alma mater. And that sucked so bad because like you want your team to win, and God, if you lose, not only does your team lose, you're at $100. You know, not to mention all of the ridicule I would be facing from Keyshawn Johnson in the locker room.
Uh-huh.
Well, they actually won. So then the next year, and Keyshawn, the funny thing about Keyshawn was that I went to collect, and it took him like 3 weeks for him to bring me the money.
$100?
$100, yeah.
Keyshawn Johnson, a professional football player?
Yes.
Couldn't muster up $100?
He could, but he
you just
he
thought
just didn't.
Scott would forget.
Yeah. I was pestering him like, no, Key, you owe me some money. So then the next year, he seeks me out because USC and K-State had the rematch in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And this was like on TNT's Thursday Night Football. And this was like Carson Palmer. This was the really good year.
Yeah, you were screwed.
Yeah, this was Carson Palmer, Troy Polamalu. I mean, like a star-studded USC lineup. And K-State kicked the shit out of USC.
They did?
Oh, yeah. Terrence Newman, right before halftime, USC made it pretty close, and they scored a touchdown. We blocked the extra point. Terrence Newman scooped and scored a defensive extra. That gave us some momentum heading in the second half, and we won. So yeah, we were 2-0 against Pete Carroll and Carson Palmer and all that. So then I went up to Keyshawn Johnson and I said, "Hey Key, you owe me another $100." And again, it took him a couple weeks for him to pay me back. And so I said, "Key, listen, I'm glad we didn't bet paycheck for paycheck here. All right, it's not like I'm asking for a week's salary, but you owe me $100." So he's like, "Fine." And I think he went to Greg Spire's locker and went into Greg Spire's wallet that was hanging in Greg Spire's jeans and took out the $100 and gave it to me. And, I mean, like, at the top of the locker, it said Greg Spire's. And it was kind of dirty money, but I took it.
Of course. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I said, well, like, you're going to pay Greg back, right? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, of course.
I was like, oh, God.
All right, that's the time that Greg Spires gave you $100 for betting.
Yeah, exactly.
So. You want to we got to wrap this podcast up.
Yeah.
You want to got a pretty good Fab Five coming out this week, Ken?
I do. Again, this kind of goes back to what I was saying before. I try to write my Fab Fives, and we try to kind of like to tailor our content to not just what's happening now, but what's going to be happening in the future that's going to affect this team, and trying to be forward thinking. And so, like, I'm not going to ask Gerald McCoy next week about, hey, that Bucks Falcons game may be your last in Tampa. I've already done that. Gerald gave me an exclusive interview that it's going to run tomorrow in SR's Fab 5. And he says some pretty amazing things. And Gerald is not immune to the idea that he could be playing in his two last games in Red and Pewter.
Mm.
And
y'all talk about that?
We talk about that, yes.
Wow.
As someone who transcribed it, it was very interesting to hear.
You've already been privy to the conversation.
Okay. And he said a specific moment of a player getting cut from his team really drove it into his head that, like, anything is possible.
Yeah, that football is a business at the end of the day.
There you go.
And if you look at it, it's like, what could happen to Gerald? Because he is going to be 31 years old in February. He's got six sacks this year. His six-time Pro Bowl streak came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
No longer voted as a team captain. I'm not diminishing his career here in Tampa. I'm not diminishing his importance here as a Buccaneer. I'm just stating some facts. But he is on the wrong side of 30. His production stalled at around six sacks, which is what he got last year. He had seven the year before, so his days as a double-digit sacker are pretty much over.
Mm-hmm.
But he is in the same situation as JPP. There will be some form of regime change. Either it's going to be just the coach, or it might be the coach and the GM. We saw when David Gettleman took over with the New York Giants, Jason Pierre-Paul was a tradable commodity. He was a valuable asset. And even though he was still a really good player, and yes, the Giants could have benefited from having him this year,
mm-hmm.
Gettleman came in, wanted to remake the team, wanted to reallocate the salary cap with that money, and said, hey, at 12.75 or whatever JPP is making, that's too much for the Giants this year. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Gerald McCoy. I think that either Jason Light or the next general manager is going to trade Gerald, or maybe if there is no trade candidate out there. And keep in mind, Gerald's going to be making $13 million, so not every team is going to be able to afford taking on that salary. So don't sit there and think that I'm saying that Gerald isn't trade-worthy. He is. But you have to trade him to a team that, A, wants him.
Right.
And, B, wants to pay him that much, too.
Right, right.
Okay, because the Buccaneers inheriting JPP's salary is one thing. Jason Light didn't sit there and say, oh, you know, JPP, it's great having you in Tampa, but we got to reduce your salary. Right? He didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, wow, you're a Pro Bowl caliber defensive end. We're happy to have you.
Right.
I mean, I just go out there and earn that money, and JPP has.
Yeah.
Right. It's a different situation with a guy that's a couple years older with Gerald.
Yeah.
I don't know that Gerald's going to go somewhere else and be a 9 or 10 sack guy. Maybe, but I don't know that. And if JPP is worth a third, it's crazy to think, right? Because of what Gerald is making and all the Pro Bowls, and he's a first-round player to begin with. But what's Gerald worth?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you trade him for a fifth, is that a good deal? Is that a bad deal?
That'd be a rough deal.
It would be a rough deal. But what I'm saying, though, is there may be a team out there that says, yeah, we'll trade for him, but we might be the only one, and we'll give you a fifth for him. Or maybe a fourth.
It's rough.
Or maybe a third.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be higher than a third. If JPP, an edge rusher who's still in his prime, is worth a third, I don't know that Gerald McCoy is worth more than a third.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what his value is going to be.
Tough
but,
one.
If Gerald doesn't end up getting traded, you know where his last meal should be?
Oh, definitely.
Ford's Garage.
Ford's Garage.
It's got to be Ford's
Garage. Absolutely.
And you know what he's got to do? He's got to order the nachos and take a picture before and after.
Yes.
To prove that he could eat all the nachos, which I assume a man of Gerald McCoy's stature could probably eat all the nachos. But
I think he could put away a plate of nachos, yeah. You know,
got to see the proof. Got to see the proof. So whether it is the nachos, which are fantastic, I've had five or six different burgers there. I know they're our sponsor, but we really do call. we really do go there all the time. Matt was just there for the first time not too long ago
when we were doing
the podcast.
I was a big fan of the place.
It's cool, isn't it? The whole atmosphere is so cool.
I honestly thought it was funny, too. I like looking at all the cars and everything in that.
Yeah.
But I like that when you're in the bathroom, you're peeing into a keg. I thought that was kind of funny.
That's not
what everyone first thinks about a restaurant when they go in there.
It's not an actual tap keg.
I really like the urinals.
Yeah, it's not like a live tap keg, like where they're going to tap the keg that you're peeing in and you're going to drink urine. It's not that. It's just an old keg.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
You like the beers. There's all kinds of
burgers.
They got
great.
All kinds of beers there, all kinds of burgers.
You know what? Here's the thing. There is somebody out there listening right now, out there in Pewter Nation, that is that is doing some last-minute holiday shopping, that put off listening to this podcast until Friday or Saturday or Sunday, and they're doing some shopping, and they don't want to drive home. They're hungry. Stop in at a conveniently located Ford's Garage, whether it's at the new Orlando Outlet Premium Malls or at the malls by my house at Wesley Chapel or West Chase.
Fort Myers,
St. Petersburg, Lakeland.
Brandon.
Conveniently located by shopping malls.
Yep.
So if you're out doing some holiday shopping, you know mom doesn't want to cook. You know the wife doesn't want to cook. Maybe you don't want to cook. Stop by Ford's. Let them do the cooking. And you know what else, too? Give the gift of a Ford's Garage gift card.
There you go.
That's a perfect stocking stuff.
There you go.
Absolutely.
$25, 50
yep.
bucks, 100 bucks.
Yep.
Buy it.
Without
put
question.
It in a stocking.
Yep. All right. It's going to do it for this episode, I think.
Predictions?
Oh, yeah. Forgot. Bucks are going to lose. All right. On to you, Scott.
Give me a score, Trev.
Okay. let me think how this game's going to go. I'm going to say the score is 31-27. Dallas wins.
Wow. Okay. High scoring, but close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Matt?
Saying 27-16, Cowboys win.
Okay.
I'm saying 24-17, Cowboys win.
Okay. All right. There you go. It is a sweep for the Cowboys. It's apparent that we don't have much faith in this Buccaneers team anymore. Not really sure why you would. Not really sure why you would want to, because a win does not really help right. this team out. It really doesn't. I know that gets into tanking, but that will be a topic for another episode. Matt, thank you so much for filling in, man. We appreciated you having the ability to talk this episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful speaking with both of you.
All right. So, for Mark Cook, who's not here, Matt Matera, Scott Reynolds, I'm Trevor Sikkema saying we will see you on Monday, right? We're
yes.
going to do Monday? Monday is our next podcast. So we will see you guys then for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.